Well, I'm thankful to be saved. I hope you are too. I know you're disappointed. Pastor's not here, but suck it up. We'll get through it together, amen. Believe me, if there's one person who wishes Pastor was here this morning, it's me, not you, okay? But it's okay. God's so good to us. I'm very thankful for what God has done in my life. Got saved when I was 17 years old, and God changed me. And many of you heard my testimony, can probably recite it better than I can, and that's okay. I'm thankful, and I never want to stop giving it, amen. You heard the scripture reading. If you'll open back up to it, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to talk to you this morning about growing, There's three types of people that we hear in the Word of God here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14. And I want you to follow along with me. But the, what's the next word? Natural man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is what? Spiritual, judgeth all things. So we have the natural man, we have the spiritual man. Now look down at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual. He said, I can't speak as you unto a spiritual man, but as unto what? Carnal. So what's the first one? Natural. Come on, everybody together. What's the first one? You got an extra hour of sleep. I don't know what your problem is. What's the second one? Not natural, but then what? Spiritual. And the last one is? Carnal. Natural, spiritual, and carnal. I want to talk to you today about growing in the Lord. I think one of the biggest problems in churches today, especially independent fundamental Baptist churches, is spiritual immaturity. Spiritual immaturity. There was a research done many years ago, and I'm sure it's changed some, but I can remember reading it, and it astonished me when it talked about groups like Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and cultish type groups, that who were they comprised of? A lot of them were Baptists. At one point in time, they were Baptists, and they got converted to their religion or whatever you want to say. They weren't grounded in what they knew. If I were to ask you why you believe what you believe, would you be able to answer that? The problem in many churches is spiritual immaturity. In the natural, in the physical realm, you know, you can only be young for a few years, and I'm figuring that out. I'm 41, and everybody keeps telling me, you're not that old, and I'm thinking it gets worse. Oh, my. Lord, help us. You can only be in the natural physical realm, you can only be young for a few years, but in the spiritual realm, you can be immature, you can be young for decades or even a lifetime. Now I'm talking about a person can get saved and just sit and never grow. We have many people that are babies in Christ, and they should be spiritual giants. And that's convicting to me. I got saved when I was 17 years old. God's allowed me by His grace to be in the ministry for over 20 years so far, and I'm very thankful for that, very blessed for that. And I look back and I'm like, man, I should be so much farther along. God has done so much for me. He's been so good to me. But I want you to do something today. I want you to find out where you are. Have any of y'all ever went to a new shopping center, a new shopping mall or something like that, maybe a town that you haven't been to before, and you go and you walk it, and you look, and there's this huge map, and it's got all these 150,000 stores on it, three different stores or whatever, and there's a big red dot on it, and it says, you are here. It says, you are here. And today, I want you to find out, where are you? Now, you may already say, well, I know I'm here. Well, I hope you know where you are. And the reason is because when you find out where you are, then you can find out where you need to go. You know, a lot of times you're like, well, I know where I need to go, but you don't know where you're starting from. And it's like me wandering around in that new shopping center. I am the worst. I'm the guy that has his hands loaded down at Walmart parking lot. Like, where did I park? Where was it at? Because I can't remember anything. And I saw a thing on Groupon the other day. It was a USB car charger, but it had a GPS built into it. And I'm like, I need to get a couple of those. I do. I said, that's an ingenious idea. But you got to know where you're at. It's much more difficult to find out where you need to go if you don't know where you are. Right? Did you know the first question in your Bible from God to man? God was asking Adam. He said, Adam, where you at? Think about that. He wanted him to know where he's at. Genesis 3:9. And the Lord God called to Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And today, I'm asking you, where art thou? Where are you at? What kind of man are you? 1 Corinthians 2. We have the natural man, we have the spiritual man, we have the carnal man. As believers, well, let me say this, the spiritual man, he's not natural, but he's supernatural. He's supernatural. The carnal man is a man that's not natural or supernatural. He's unnatural. He is just, it's not right. Okay? And think about this. As believers in Jesus Christ, is it fair to say that we should be growing as a Christian? Is that fair? Every one of us, we should be growing. Today, you should know God in a much greater way than you did a year ago today, or even a month ago today, right? We should have a greater walk with God. And let me say this, friends, I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I should be in the Lord. I know that. Every one of us should, we have room for improvement. And I'm not what I'm going to be, but I do believe that I am growing in the Lord. I've seen growth in my life, and especially through the trial of my father's illness and stuff like that, and I've seen God work and be able to grow me in ways that I've never been able to be grown before. And, you know, sometimes God puts you through the valley, allows you to go through the valley to grow you a little bit. And He knows what He's doing. Thankful for that. But let me say this. If you're not growing as a Christian, then something is definitely wrong with you. If you don't love God more right now than you did 6 months ago, then you're backslidden. Matter of fact, if you don't love God more than, if you've ever loved God more than you do right now, then you've gotten away from God. Now, is that a fair assumption or not? Yes? Three people. Thank you. All right. I want to give you three easy lessons on spiritual growth. And listen, I'm not going to be that long. About 30 minutes ago, I took 2 Benadryl. And so my allergies have kicked in this morning. And so if I fall asleep, y'all just walk out. It'll be fine. We won't be long, but I want you to listen, okay? With the natural man, spiritual growth is impossible. It's impossible. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Receive that. Why? Because, let me take my glasses off so I can read. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I'm stealing this from another preacher, but just act like you haven't heard it before. I heard about a pastor. He had a Sunday school promotion that he was doing. He gave every of the kids Sunday school class. He gave them all plants. Gave them all the same plant, right? And he said, and he told him what to do. He said, here's what I want you to do with it. As you have this plant at your house, here's what I want you to do. He said, for the first one, he said, I want you to get water it every day. I want you to give it sunlight every single day. I want you to put fertilizer every single day. And he did that for this one group. Then he had another group, and he said, I don't want you to water it. I just want you to put sunlight on it and fertilizer on it. And the third group, he said, I don't want you to put sunlight on it. And you had water and fertilizer. And the fourth, he said, I want you to do water and sunlight, but no fertilizer, okay? And then the last one, he gave him a stick. He gave him a stick. And he said, I want you to take this stick and I want you to water it every day. And I want you to give it sunlight every day. Send this plant, just this potted plant, you know, just stick it up. And he said, I want you to get water, sunlight, and fertilizer every single day. And you know where I'm going with this. But at the end of all that, it didn't matter what happened, what you do to the stick, because it was always dead. The stick would not grow. And that's what we're talking about here with the natural man. The natural man will not grow because he's not alive. He's not been born again. And friends, some of you in here today, and I believe that with all my heart, there's some people in here today that the devil has tricked you to make you believe that, well, I prayed a prayer. And you can be saved by praying a prayer if it's genuine and it's from the heart and it's faith. But the words alone will not save you. It's not a hocus pocus and say this is the passphrase. That is not it. It's a change of heart. Repentance of your sin, turning to God by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, that is the only thing that will get you to heaven. And there may be some of you here today that you're a natural man and you say, well, I'm saved, but you never have grown. Because growth is impossible because the life has never been in you. Friends, a natural man has no spiritual life. How the Bible describes a natural man in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, and were by nature the children of wrath. All of us, by our own nature, were children of wrath. The natural man, a child of wrath. In Jude, verse 19, it says, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. The natural person is referred to as spiritual. They do not have the Spirit of God in them. It's natural. This is the person that has not been born again. He's never been saved. If you've not heard that term before, born again, all we're talking about is being saved, asking Jesus Christ, putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin. If you've not done that, if you've not repented of your sin and turned to Him, put your faith and trust in Him, you are a natural man. You've never done that. You've never had anything supernatural. If you've been born once, then you die twice. And if you've been born twice, then at the most you'll do is die once. And we may never die if the Lord comes back and takes us back. But a natural person cannot grow. Now write this down. The natural person cannot grow because he has no spiritual motivation. He has no spiritual motivation. Think about this. The Holy Spirit motivates us to live, does he not? If you're saved, if you've been born again, the Holy Spirit, let me ask you something. It's not natural for a person to give their tithe to the church. It's not. What kind of unregenerated man would do that? What kind of lost person would spend hours soul winning? What kind of lost person would go to church three times a week? And that's not natural. That's supernatural. Right? That's something the Spirit of God will get you. The Holy Spirit motivates you to do things when we're saved. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs 24:16, says, For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Now, why does he rise up? Because he has God inside of him. It's not in his own strength. It's not in his own ability. It's not because, oh yeah, he fell into sin because we're not perfect. None of us have arrived yet. But it's simply because you've got the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. And that's it. Now, the natural man, he's got no spiritual motivation. I want you to know this. He's got no spiritual appreciation. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The word receiveth in this passage, it means welcome to. There's no welcoming of the spiritual things here. The natural person does not welcome the spiritual thing. You could be here today and you could say, oh man, I really appreciated that choir singing. It was beautiful. The special music that we were singing, it was special. It was nice. You know, it was wonderful. Blessed me. Or that sermon, it's really special. You may say, whatever. But you can appreciate it, right? You can say, oh, the beautiful piano playing or whatever it was. And you can have an appreciation for that. But friends, a person that is lost, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. They don't appreciate the things of God. A person that's lost, they have no appreciation for the spiritual things that are involved in life, in the church house that Christians are trying to do. The natural person does not get or understand spiritual things, therefore he has no spiritual appreciation. I'll give you an illustration here. I'll throw myself under the bus a little bit. We was here yesterday, me and Pastor and Brother Daniel. We was here yesterday and we was up here talking. We was going over some things. It may have been 2 days ago. And we were going over some things church-wise and what we're doing. And we're looking at making some minor changes, stuff like that. You know, what can we do better, that sort of thing. And they come up that they just had the piano worked on. And, some guy came in, did some stuff. I don't know what he did. Went in there and did some stuff and fixed some stuff or whatever. And pastor's telling me, you know, when this piano was brand new, it was like $15,000, $20,000, something like that. And I believe Lord gave it to us, I think. And guy came and we paid him and he did some work on it. And Daniel's over there and pastor, both of them over there hitting notes. And, oh, yeah, that one's on. I don't know what they're... It doesn't sound any different to me. Why? Because I don't have that appreciation. Some of you this morning, or some of the ladies that you play, you can get on there and you can play and you can say, oh yeah, that sounds a whole lot better. I can't. And look, there's tone deaf and then there's like level TJ right above that. That's where I'm at. That's it. And I'm okay with that. That's fine. But the spirit, the natural man... He has no appreciation for the things of God. He can't. He can't. It's not in him. And so the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, right? And I couldn't notice a difference. Now, the natural man, he has no spiritual motivation. There's no spiritual appreciation. Now, listen to this. The natural man has no spiritual comprehension. There's no spiritual comprehension. Look at verse 14 there. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Listen to the next part. Neither can he know them. He can't even know them because they are spiritually discerned. It is impossible for them to comprehend the things of God. Now let me say this. There's lost people that can probably quote more scripture than you and me put together. But that don't mean that they comprehend it. That don't mean that they understand the things of God. You know, there's lost people that can have that are smart, that God has blessed them with and given them ability to be able to have the mental faculties, to be able to and the intelligence to know things. And they've studied, and that's great. But if they've not been saved, they're not going to comprehend the things of God. John 8:47 says, he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not because you're not of God. You don't hear God's word because you're not of God. So the person that is natural, that they don't get it. I remember when I first went to church, when as a 17-year-old boy, my sergeant, ROTC, he invited me to church, and I went, and I sat there. Cannot tell you what the pastor preached on. Cannot tell you. Never did once give it any thought. Wasn't listening. Didn't have a Bible. Just sitting there. And why? Because I was natural. Now, the Holy Spirit can beckon the natural person, draw them, and get them saved, right? And then they can give them that life. But I was natural, right? In this room right now, is filled with music. It's filled with drama. It's filled with sports. It's filled with cartoons. It's filled with movies. You say, I don't hear it. I don't see it. Well, if you had an antenna, you could get all that. If you had an antenna. And spiritually, that's how it is. Friends, there's God all around us. You can see God in anything and everything and what He does in your life and how He blesses you. It's all right here. You've got to have your receiver. You've got to have the antenna up. Now, let me ask you. Do you know how Christians see things? It's through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God that gives you the wisdom you need to raise your children. The Holy Spirit of God, sir and man, that gives you wisdom to how to keep your marriage on the right track. The Holy Spirit of God that gives you discernment how to put up safeguards in your house so the devil doesn't get a toe. You understand what I'm saying? It's the Holy Spirit of God that does that. It's not where you just say, well, you know what? I think I'm smart enough. I'm going to figure this out. No, it's not. They have the Holy Spirit in them and their spiritual antennas are up. It'd be very foolish for us to say that there's nothing being broadcasted just because our TVs don't work. I had a lady cut my hair yesterday. I know, it looks nice. And I told her, she said, how's your day going? I said, good. She said, what are you going to be doing the rest of the day? I said, I got to study, I'm preaching and all this and that. And then for the next 20 minutes, she went on about the church where she goes, and I won't say where it's at, but some things that she just didn't like and how she wasn't getting fed and this and that. And I said, come to my church tomorrow. I'll preach on you. And you can be the example. I wasn't going to say that to her. I try to help her and stuff. But you understand what I'm saying? A person, if you don't have your antenna up, friend, you're not going to get what's coming. You're not going to get it. And so when we ask God, we say, the natural man, he has no spiritual motivation, appreciation, or comprehension. He cannot know the things of God. The natural man has worldly wisdom rather than spiritual wisdom. The best minds of the Jewish and Greek world, the best minds, the greatest intellectuals are the ones that crucified Jesus. You think about that. In Matthew 27:1, it says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. You know, to be a chief priest or elder, it wasn't just anybody. You know, they were smart people. These are people that they were smart. There's no doubt about it. But that doesn't mean you have everything. The natural man, growth is impossible. With the carnal man, let's turn to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. With the carnal man, I want you to notice that the growth is impaired. The growth is impaired. Verse 1, he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye yet carnal. For whereas there is among you even envyings and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Carnal man is a man that's been saved but is not grown spiritually. He's not grown spiritually. He's been saved so as by fire, but he has not grown in the Lord. Now what's wrong with this? One, he's impaired developmentally. He's not developed. He's not what he could be. For Christ. Chapter 3, verse 1, I just read it. He said, you're a baby. Now, There's nothing wrong with being a baby Christian, but there's definitely something wrong with staying a baby. I love children. Oh man, I love babies. I do. I love them, and very thankful for them. And God allowed me to be present when all five of my children were born. I passed out on a couple of them, but I was there. That's all that counts. And I can remember when Silas, well, I was watching a video yesterday when we was in Clarksville, Tennessee. Brother John, when I was assistant pastor for you down there, and we was watching a video where I lived. I lived at 2079 7 Mile Ferry Road. In the front yard, there was a tree up there, and I was out there playing with some stuff, and Silas was out there and had this big truck. Where's he? Oh, Silas is in here. I'm going to embarrass him. Yeah, I better just change. Well, let's go. We already started. Let's go ahead. And so... He had a big truck right there, and you know he's moving it all around and all this stuff. And man, I was like, man, they grow up so fast. And you know it happens, but and that's a good thing for people to grow up. How many of y'all ever met a 40-year-old that never grew up? Hey, some of y'all are like, yeah, I'm looking at one. Yeah. maturity is a good thing. It's the right thing. It's a godly thing. But for those that are carnal, maturity is never reached. The carnal man had the opportunity and the ability to grow, but for whatever reason, he did not. He chose not to. And it's a tragedy when a person doesn't reach their potential like that. The average Christian, now get this, the average Christian is not a normal Christian. The average Christian is not a normal Christian. A normal Christian is spirit-filled. An average Christian, unfortunately, is carnal. If the average Christian were filled with the Spirit of God, friends, we'd be in a whole different world. We would. And y'all know that's true. There's an impaired development. Secondly, there's an improper diet. Improper diet. The carnal Christian cannot handle the meat of the Word. They can't handle the truths, the in-depth truths of the Word of God. Many Christians... Oh, I did not want to say this, but it's true. But many Christians, all that they get is what's spoon-fed to them from this pulpit on Sunday morning, or from a pulpit on Sunday morning. Now, that's true, folks. They have no individual walk with Christ. They're babies in Christ. They don't get that time where they're walking with God and they're doing their own devotions and their own... Listen, there's three stages. There's supposed to be three stages in a Christian's life. One is when they are spoon-fed, right? A baby needs to be fed, 1 Peter 2:2. They need to be fed and somebody feeds you. That's stage one. And then there's that second phase to where you finally figured out where the hole was to put the food, right? And then you start feeding. Y'all remember you had kids and you remember that? Man, green peas all over their forehead. I remember that was some good times, man. Not for me, my wife, you know. Stuff everywhere. It looked like a bomb blew up or something. Food everywhere. But you that have kids, you can remember that when the kids figured it out. How, you know, you didn't know if they're left-handed or right-handed because they're both-handed. They're just sitting there like this, and whichever one they can get up to there, it's got some food in it. And that's a good thing. And that's God's will for you, is for you not to be... Listen, as a baby, yeah, you're spoon-fed. You're mentored. But then there comes a time, friends, where we gotta feed ourselves. We gotta feed ourselves. We gotta put our big boy pants on, and we gotta be able to say, you know what? That I'm going to grow in the Lord myself. I can have a relationship with God, and I can meet with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I can get what I need. I've got a really bad pet peeve when people say, "Well, I'm not getting fed at that church." Now, I know it's the pastor's job to deliver the Word of God, but I know plenty of places. And if you've been in ministry at all, you know places where the preacher was doing a fine job. He's not perfect, but he's putting the meat out there for them. And yet people, what, they don't have the antennas on. All this stuff's coming in, but they're not spiritually discerned. They, why? Because they're carnal. But friends, it's nobody's job for you to grow except for you. It's not the pastor's job to make sure you get to be the spiritual Christian. If he's doing his part and you're not receiving it, whose fault's that? It's my fault. I'm the one that's going to stand before God and give an account on whether I'm going to be a spiritual Christian or not. Not Pastor Gamble. As long as he's preaching the word right, as long as things are being done right and biblically here from the pulpit, y'all understand what I'm saying? Somebody say amen. That's truth. And so, the carnal Christian. Friends, we need to grow. The third stage, and I love this. First stage, you have somebody feeding you. The second stage, you learn to feed yourself. And you know where I'm going. The third stage is when you get to feed somebody else. What a wonderful stage. For Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What's he saying? He said, hey, you should be teaching somebody. You've been saved for 20 years, and you're sitting on your blessed assurance, and you won't do nothing for the cause of Christ. Don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible says. He said the time comes. You ought to be teachers, but you have need that one teach you. That's the third and final stage, friend, is where you are, you know, you're pouring your life into somebody else. You have a ministry. You may not have a name, but you got people that you're pouring your life into, that you're investing into, that you're saying, but by the grace of God, I'm going to help them to grow from the first stage to the second stage, and then they get to the third stage, and then you're both going after somebody else. That's God's will for my life. That's God's will for your life. Is for us to take them from wherever they're at, the first or second, and get them to the third one, and for us to be there. You should have a ministry that you're pouring your life into. There's an impaired development, there's an improper diet, and there's irritating divisions. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 3:3. This is the carnal Christians. For ye are now yet carnal, for whereas there is many among you envying and strife and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Carnality causes division in churches. That's all there is to it. Why? Because they're not one in Christ. You know who causes the most divisions in the church? It's not the drunks. It's not the drug addicts. It's the lukewarm carnal Christians. That's true. It's the lukewarm carnal Christians. And I don't know about one thing that's going on, okay? I don't have nobody that I'm aiming at this morning. Nothing like that whatsoever. But it's just true. Isn't it amazing how little babies and young kids, they'll cry over just the silliest things? And it's just like their world is gone, man. And I'll give an illustration here. Last night, we got the extra hour of sleep, and so we was trying to still put everybody on time so we could still get that hour. And Beth's room is upstairs, and the boys' room's upstairs on the other hall. And so Beth's up, and she's supposed to be sleeping, and, you know, she'll have 100 reasons to come back down, that sort of thing. And so she came down, and it just... You know, she's all quivering and everything, and it's just the end of the world. You know, it's like, what's going on? You know, Beth, what's wrong? And, you know, it takes her a second. You know, she knows what she's doing. Girls learning drama at such a young age. She said, the blinds are up. The blinds are up. It's the end of the world, folks. The blinds are up. She can't go, how can I possibly sleep? The blinds are up. We laugh, but some of us are the same way. Some of us are the exact same way. Something so petty and so trivial is something like that. Well, how can I go to church there? The blinds are up, you know? Oh, my. I heard one pastor preaching on this said that he felt like something to the effect that he grabs a pacifier and goes and visits Mr. I'm a Baby and goes to take care of the problem. I'm like, Lord, help him. These are people that should be working and feeding others. They should be feeding others. God said at this time, you should be teachers. Man, you should be telling somebody else. And God said, and here you are, you need the milk of the word yourself? You've been raised in a Christian home? And you're still being spoon-fed? College kids, you've been raised and you've been saved, said you've been saved for 15, 20 years or whatever, and, 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 and you're still being spoon-fed? Or maybe you're better than that. Maybe you're not being spoon-fed, but you're feeding yourself. Well, that's good. That's better. But you're not feeding anybody else. God made you to pour your life into somebody else. He did. Amen. To invest into somebody else. Impaired developmentally improper diet, irritation, divisions. Many of us, we just need to grow up. We do. And I love y'all. Y'all know that. And I don't have one person in mind, and that's why I can preach this with a clear conscience. I mean it. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Some of you need to draw a line in the sand that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to stop dabbling in this Christianity. We're going to live for God. We're going to have the meat of the Word in our house. We're going to be right with God. With natural man, growth is impossible. With the carnal man, growth is impaired. With the spiritual man, growth is empowered. It's empowered. Chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. He's saying, nobody knows me but me, and nobody knows God but God, right? Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. So we have the spirit of God. Look at this. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The spiritual man lives by the Spirit. Now think about that. He lives by the Spirit of God. We know we're saved by the Spirit of God, but this man is walking with God. This man, he's not perfect, right? A just man falleth 7 times, riseth up again. He falls, but yet he is doing his best. He's not only feeding himself. I don't want that milk, man. Give me a steak. Right? He knows the Word of God. He's eating, he's consuming it, but then he said, you know what? Here, I want to give you this. I want to give you, I'm helping you. I'm helping others. That's what he's doing. That's what this person's doing. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. You know, it's impossible to be saved without having the Spirit of God in you. It's impossible. So you got the Spirit of God in you, a person that's born again, and he lives from the Spirit of God, and now he's learning from the Spirit of God. The Spirit-filled man, now he learns from the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit reveals in us the things of God. John 3, verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. If you know more about this word than I do, praise the Lord for that, but it was God that gave it to you. Or else my laziness in not reading it. But you understand the point I'm trying to make here. Don't twist my words. God's the one that gives you the truth. God's the one that gives you the discernment. God's the one that gives you the wisdom. The Holy Spirit of God's the one that leads you, that guides you, that directs you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's not your own ability. It's not your comprehension of it. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. Now, the things which are revealed, they're secret things. And then God says, you know what? Here's something I'm going to reveal unto you. We will never know all of God, but we can all know God. Now think about that. If I took a bucket and I went down to the ocean, let's say I go down to the Atlantic Ocean, I take that bucket and I fill it up with the water. Everything in that bucket, it's going to be all ocean, but all the ocean will not be in that bucket. You understand that? So when we think about that, we say, okay, we can know all about God, whatever God wants to reveal unto us, but the only way it's going to happen is through the Spirit of God, which we learn. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What happens? God takes ordinary people, and he gives them extraordinary knowledge. He does. That's my God. He does this by divine revelation. The spiritual man, he lives through the Spirit of God. He learns through the Spirit of God, and he's liberated through the Spirit of God. He's liberated through the Spirit. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's read these two verses again. But he that spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word judge here in this passage, it means discern. He sees through things. When we're born again, our discerner is working, right? God's given us life. Well, we get saved. What happens? The antenna goes up. And all of a sudden, you start picking up these things that you never picked up before. Why? Because the blinders are off. The antenna's up. You're picking up the wavelengths of the spiritual things because you're no longer in your flesh. You can be a spiritual man. As a believer in God, we can have the understanding of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God. If you're a natural person, what does that mean? It means you need to be saved. It means you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You cannot learn the things of God on your own. You're spiritually ignorant. You need God to save you. Not so you can learn things, but you can save yourself from hell. Well, God can save you from hell. You will not get there any other way. If you're a carnal person, what do you need to do? You need to repent today and ask God the Holy Spirit to fill you. Many of you have been here and you said, I've been saved since such and such date. And yet you're still, you're here, you're in church, that's wonderful. But you're being spoon-fed. You're not growing, you're not finding the truths of God on your own. And that's not God's will for your life. Your growth is stunted. It's not the way God would want it. We understand that? The spiritual person, God wants you to keep on growing. You know, none of us have arrived. We've never gotten there. We've never made it. We haven't accomplished everything that God has for us. Now, some of you, you're going through that big mall with three stories and you look at the map on the wall and it says, you are here. I don't know where you're at. But you do. If you really want to, if you're really asking God, say, Lord, where am I? God will show you. I don't know one person in here. I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. But I know this, that if you're serious with God and you want to draw closer to God, He's just a step away. Just a step away. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what, Brother TJ, I have been a carnal Christian. I have not been what God has made me to be. I've been, yeah, I'm saved. I know that. But man, I've not grown. I'm deader. I'm dead as a doornail as far as my effectiveness for reaching people for Christ. You're not led by the Spirit of God. I'd like to invite you to come down to the altar. You say, well, I don't have to. No, you don't have to, but the altar is biblical. It's in the Bible. And I know you can take care of things. But nail it to the altar, man. Say, God, forgive me of the sin. Forgive me of my lack of feeding myself, Lord, of my devotion, of my time with you, of my lack of being able to be close to you. Listen, I'm not making fun of you. I love you. And every person in this room that's right with God, they'll rejoice with you if you come here and you say, I'm giving it all to God. And I'm wanting to grow and I want to be the Christian that God made me to be. Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother TJ, I'm not a carnal man. I'm a natural man. I've never been saved. I don't discern these things spiritually you're talking about. Friends, do not leave this service and go to hell. If you, Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. I believe with all my heart, and I'm going to say this, and I promise you, as God is my witness, I don't have one person's name in mind. But I believe that God put a burden on my heart that there's somebody here that's lost. And that means if Jesus Christ comes back before you get saved, you will be left. You'll be in hell forever. What would keep you from getting saved? Whatever the answer to that is, it's not worth it. It is not worth it. Carnal Christian, what would keep you from being spiritual? Whatever the answer is to that, it's not worth it. Every head bow, every eye closed.